later than usual, but still an absolute delight to have her on the show. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Sarah Jane, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really super. I'm glad that you're on a bit later because it gives us a bit longer with you because there's lots that I want to talk about. You are talking to us this week about two shows. One, which is something that I mentioned to you last week, which I really enjoyed over the festive season, called How to Ruin Christmas. And also Bridgerton, this steamy American TV show produced by Shonda Rhimes. I don't know if you've been listening to the show this morning, Gail, but I've been asking people to share with me their guilty viewing pleasures. What are some of the shows that they've been watching during lockdown, particularly that they wouldn't necessarily watch at any other time? And apparently, we've all been watching more trash TV because of something called a consolatory entertainment. It's the purposelessness of the viewing that we're watching. We want escapism. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be traumatized. We just want something that's going to allow us to zone out. And just some of the answers that have been coming in about shows that people have been watching. Hi, SJ. I adore The Big Bang Theory, which I recorded and watched endlessly, chuckling hugely. I'm 73, says Sally. So Big Bang. I've just got into Big Bang Theory. Didn't like it to start with. Didn't find it funny. Something changed. There was a shift and I now do enjoy it. A few more people saying Desperate Housewives. Oh, Dawn says, at my lowest ebb last year, I confess I watched Desperate Housewives. Thankfully, these things passed. Tried Bridgerton, but couldn't get beyond the first episode. In my opinion, even worse than Desperate Housewives because it's so boring, says Dawn. Somebody else saying...
didn't wait long enough, did she?
Well, this is the thing. Somebody else saying, I'm trying Bridgerton, but battling to get into it. It's like a 2020 version of BBC's Pride and Prejudice, which was fabulous, says Sue. And then Peter, a damning indictment from Peter, who says of Bridgerton, so bad we didn't finish the first episode. Bad script, bad acting, serious rubbish. Now, Gail, I hold your opinion in high regard. I give credence to your reviews every week. What? Tell me about Bridgerton. What is it, and did you enjoy it?
I'll tell you what. I absolutely talk about a guilty pleasure. I loved it. And funnily enough, I rewatched the whole. I've got a lot of the BBC series still on DVD, and I watched the whole of one of my guilty pleasures. Was watching the whole of the Colin Firth version of Pride and Prejudice.
I
again
bet you
about
did, you naughty girl.
2 months ago, yeah. And this one, I absolutely. You know what I loved about it is it was. It's very arch and silly and full of, we understand all that. It looks magnificent. It's also just wonderful because it's a period drama that proves a few things. One, that you can slip some diversity into it.
Yeah.
And second, that you can slip quite a lot of naughty bits into it. And I think that's what made it such fun was that instead of just the drawing room, you got a little bit of a glimpse into the artist colony, a little bit of a glimpse into the bedroom, and you know, into the gardens and any or all other places too. But
yeah,
but it absolutely was just a real bit of fun. And I have to say that I binge watched the whole series. And I think that Zimbabwean born actor, what's his, Reggae Jean Page, he's been around a while. But I think that we will in future call this the Duke his breakthrough role, I think.
Oh,
very
really?
Possibly.
Okay, okay. So it's 8 episodes.
Yes.
And who else is in there? There's this chap. Yes. And who else might I recognise?
They've got a whole lot of people you'll recognise. Polly Walker plays Portia Featherington, who's one of the ladies in the... It's set in London in 1830, but obviously filmed in Bath because nothing else looks like that period of English history better. Polly Walker is this mother of these three daughters, and she dresses them in very particular, beautiful sort of shiny satins and florals and bright colours. And then Julie Andrews is the voice of Lady Whistledown, who no one knows who she actually is, but once a week this sort of scandal rag comes out and all the society buy it. And it's always got some juicy piece of scandal from the latest ball, party, tea. And I suppose their lives were dreadfully dull. So it's kind of fun to imagine them having this sort of salacious bit of gossip. to get stuck into every week. And Julie Andrews, her voice, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to hear her voice over the
voice
whole series.
It is just spectacular. I'm madly in love with Julie Andrews. So as soon as I heard that Julie Andrews was involved, I was in.
And you'll see there's a lot of the faces are familiar. You'll have seen them in Silent Witness and Doctor Who and all the British series that here and there. So they pop up. And then the young cast, the young lead opposite the Zimbabwean is Phoebe. I can't say her name properly.
Dynevor.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's how you say it. That's phonetically how you say it. But and she's rather good because she captures that whole sort of demure, but she also has a bit of fire. So she is supposedly looking to be the perfect wife and mother, but she does actually get stuck into a few other things as well, trying to do a bit of good here and there. So I think that that's what makes it such a bit of fun fantasy. And it's not historically correct in many ways, but I think that's what makes it more fun as well. It's kind of a period drama with a big lashing of what if.
Okay.
And obviously that allows them to bring in the diversity element. It allows a little bit of more feistiness from some of the women. There's a wonderful scene where the married where the married women have a soiree, but actually what it is a hard drinking gambling sort of setup, which I think was just it was just lovely to watch them all sort of finally, after all that being perfect at the ball, kind of letting their hair down. So there's a lot in it that really is literally a guilty pleasure. And I think that people will enjoy it. And I think they should give it a chance. You need to give it more than episode one. You've got to persevere through another at least one or two.
Yeah. I have to say, some shows that I initially thought I'm not keen ended up being some of my absolute faves. And I can tell you off the top of my head, the Game of Thrones. I tried about four times to get through the first episode. Wasn't interested. Mm-hmm. Didn't like it. Then I just happened to stick it out for a couple of episodes, and then I was obsessed. Entourage. Couldn't bear that when it first came out. Couldn't get through the first episode. Tried again a few years later and absolutely loved it. So I will take heed. I take note of some of the messages that have come in this morning from people saying not a fan, but I will push through. I'm gonna give it until episode two. I think I'll be gripped. I'm all for that. I like to see the diversity, and I know that there's been some clapback, which I find tedious but it's not realistic. It's a television show.
It's also not trying to be. If you look at the hairstyle, there are 41 hairstylists and makeup artists on this show. There are dresses that will make you faint. The men are beautifully dressed. Their waistcoats are wonderful. The scenery is wonderful. The food looks magnificent.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. The furniture is lovely. And I'm sure it didn't all look like that. But it doesn't matter.
It's tedious.
When everyone's first fallback is, but it's not like Pride and Prejudice. And the thing is that the woman who wrote the books, what's her name? Julia Quinn.
Mm.
She's a Jane Austen superfan, and she's written these Regency romances. I probably wouldn't read the books, I'll be honest.
It's
probably not up my street. But I did love the show. And I do think, as you say, it's just a bit of fun to see a bit of diversity. What if? You know, what if everyone
was? Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't all dreadfully racist at the time, you know?
I know.
The women weren't completely stomped underfoot.
Funny. Yeah, I do too. It's the same people who get upset when I think it wasn't a couple of years ago they decided they're going to do a live action film of The Little Mermaid, and they've cast this beautiful black girl from the States, and people got upset. And I thought, yes, it's not realistic. They said it's a cartoon. It's a film based
about
a fictional character. It doesn't exist. It's not real. You can't get upset about a black mermaid. It's not real. Move on. Good. Okay. It's funny. I'm going to give it a go. Bridgerton, Netflix. Okay. I'm going to give that a go. The next thing was, and I said to you last week, please go back and watch How to Ruin Christmas, the wedding edition. I think that's its full title. What did you think, Gail? Did you enjoy it?
I did, actually.
Good.
I thought of another one that qualifies as a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
There were a few script problems here and there, but I have to say, overall, it was very funny. And I did laugh at you could recognize your uncle in there.
Oh, my goodness.
The one who likes a bit of a drink.
The drunk uncle, yeah.
the uncle that's got into dreadful trouble that nicked, you know, the guy that nicks the money at the table next door to pay for his next drink. I just thought there were some lovely bits in it. The aunties, the sort of the Pop and Jay politician who's so concerned with
his wife were they stole the show for me.
They absolutely stole the show. And so awful. You know, just those awful sort of social class. It was just wonderful. I did enjoy it. And I did think that it was so funny, the sort of lead character. All she had to do, and she knew all she had to do, was hold it together for 3 days.
Yeah.
And she literally just couldn't even hold it together for half an hour.
Yeah.
She's just complete disaster. So I think that all in all, and I also watched that one in a sitting, all 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And I think it's lovely that Netflix are giving an opportunity to more and more local content globally. You know, you can watch French shows, German shows, local shows. And I think that's what makes it stand out from the cinema, which I think over the years has squeezed out the sort of global, you know, flavor of cinema. It's very much Hollywood with a sprinkling on top. I think it is lovely.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And just if you didn't hear me chatting about it last week, so just to give you a short premise, it's about the prodigal daughter, really, to me, who lives in Cape Town. She's a wine producer, I think. She works in a sommelier. She's a sommelier, that's right. And she goes home to Joburg for the holidays and manages to completely ruin her sister's wedding plans. And it's these two families who come from very, very different backgrounds in terms of financially. I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the South African-ness of it. I enjoyed the comedy. I love to see young, powerful women being funny. It stars Thando Tabete, who I love. I think she's super. There doesn't seem to be anything that she can't do. Who else was in there? Yonder Thomas as the
Thomas.
Oh, I love him. Yeah.
Yes, he was very good. He was good fun. And Busi Lurayi was Tumi.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it had Desmond Dube and Trevor Gumbi as the uncles, and it had Keketso Semoka and Rami Chene as the aunt. And I'm sure there's lots of familiar faces from South African TV shows, and then also, as you say, a nice young cast. I think, and they definitely left a lovely bit of a cliffhanger, so that I think they probably will do a second series.
I completely forgot about the cliffhanger. Yeah,
I think she can ruin Easter too. I'm sure she can do it if she works at it.
If she puts her mind to it, I agree. Listen, it's lovely, and this has been so nice that we've had you on a bit longer. We've been blessed in that regard. Gail, fantastic stuff. We'll chat to you again next week. Thank you so much. The two picks from Gail this week are Bridgerton, although some quite polarising views are on that. But also, if you are still looking, if you want to maybe check out something a little bit closer to home, give it a go. How to Ruin Christmas. Yes, Christmas is over, but it's still a nice, easy watch for a Sunday afternoon.